I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, a new report found that Texas has the most severe racial and ethnic health disparities than any other state in the Southwest, and people of Hispanic descent experience the worst health outcomes, access, and quality in Texas. The report also finds that these populations are more likely to die from premature and avoidable deaths while being less likely to have health coverage. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Disparities in health and health care between racial and ethnic groups are real. These differences in access to care, quality of care, being able to afford a prescription, whether a preventable disease or condition like hypertension or diabetes is diagnosed and treated early, these differences mean unnecessary early death for many. Measuring and reporting on health and racial disparities, that tells us a lot. We learned that state public health policy choices have long-lasting consequences for people's lives. And a new report found that Texas has more severe racial and ethnic health disparities than any other state in the Southwest. David Radley is a senior scientist for the Commonwealth's Fund's Tracking Health System Performance Initiative. He's also director of data and analytics at the Center for Evidence-Based Policy at Oregon Health and Science University. David Radley, welcome to The Source.
All right, thanks so much for having me.
So this new report from the Commonwealth Fund, it makes things look pretty bad in Texas. So what do you got?
Well, things in Texas are maybe they're bad, but I think the sort of the takeaway from the report is that we see these kinds of disparities, the kinds that you just described. We see them in every state in the country. Even states that we generally think of as having pretty good health systems, even there we see big disparities. Texas is no different. We do see big disparities across the state in the kinds of things that you just mentioned. Whether it's access to care, whether it's health outcomes, whether it's the quality of care that people receive, we find that where you live and your racial and ethnic background play a big part in how well the system is working for you.
But these are systems that are designed. These are systems that are created through a public policy. The people who run the state make decisions. I mean, Texas is one of the worst public health funded states, 45th in the nation, as from what I've read. So that matters.
Absolutely. When we look at a report like this, and when we look across the country, this is actually exactly why we look at these reports and why we compare states and look across the country. We find, even though in this report we find big disparities, we do find that in some states the disparities are smaller. That proves your point that when the state policy matters, and when policymakers sort of align their interests to public health and healthcare access, for example, are the focus of those policy interests, you absolutely can make a long take big steps to reduce the amount of disparity within your state.
Our phone lines are open. We want to hear from our listeners about these disparities. Have you seen them? Have they impacted your family, loved ones? Knowing that Texas has not expanded Medicaid, we underfund public health. It's very difficult for people who are on the margins in order to access healthcare, quality healthcare, get prescriptions, being able to get diagnosed and treated for conditions like diabetes. This is something that the community should know and should be able to talk about. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, David Radley, tell me more about this Commonwealth report. What are y'all looking at? What are you tracking?
So the report itself looks at 24 measures grouped into three sort of buckets. We look at healthcare access, we look at health outcomes, and we look at the quality of care that people receive. And when we and we take each one of those 24 measures and we break those down by race and ethnicity. So we can look at the experience for Asian Americans, American Indians, for Black people, for Hispanic people, and for white people. And the data that we're looking at generally reflects what was going on in 2024. I mean, these data sources always have a little bit of a time lag in them. I think that matters this, even though the kinds of data that we're looking at don't necessarily change very rapidly over time. And so 2024 data is still very relevant. I do think that the timing matters in this particular report because we know that there's a lot of policy change at the federal level that's going to affect Medicaid in states across the country, including Texas, including states that haven't expanded Medicaid. And we know that those changes at the federal level, they're going to trickle down. And we expect that some of the kinds of disparities that we see in this report may actually get worse over time.
So there's a buzzsaw heading towards Texas and other states in regards to being able to provide health care to many people.
Yes.
And that's, I guess, that's a result of the big, beautiful bill, as the Trump administration calls it.
Yeah, I mean, we're already seeing, some of the effects of some of the policy choices that, at the federal level. For example, the decision to not extend the pandemic era premium subsidies, that's had a big impact. I don't know the numbers exactly for Texas, but it's had a big impact already on for people who were buying, health insurance plans through the marketplace. A lot of people are either having to, they're forced to make a choice. Do I continue to buy this plan through the marketplace, without subsidy, or do I have to cancel that plan? And if they continue to buy it, that most likely that's leaving, less money for other things in their lives.
So the concern is, like, some people have access to primary medical care, other people don't. What happens when someone does not have access to primary medical care?
Sure. I mean, Texas has one of the highest uninsured. In fact, let me say it again. Texas has the highest uninsured rate in the country. About 22% of Texans don't have any form of health insurance. When those people get sick or when those people need emergency health care, they go to an emergency room or they get hospitalized. When they can't pay for care, those costs trickle down and they get spread across the system. In terms of hospitals needing to charge higher prices to account for uncompensated care, those higher prices get turned into ultimately get turned into health insurance premiums that people even with employer-sponsored insurance pay for. So when people lack health coverage, they still use health care. The difference is that the costs that they incur get spread out and paid for by everyone else.
But also, they're not getting preventative care.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, right. I mean,
Yeah.
when
So
people
we're
don't
heading
have
up a
health
break here,
insurance.
so we're going to get into that. But we do know that when health services are not affordable, people are more likely to forego a needed care. They don't get preventative care. Their diabetes and other conditions that they have, hypertension, go untreated. And then when they do go to the emergency room for treatment, that's too late. And so something could have been done for them. And so that's why these disparities matter so much. And they absolutely need to be talked about. People need to be aware of this. They need to know that Texas underfunds public health. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, talking about racial health disparities here in the state of Texas, minority health disparities, why they exist, how this is a result of public policy, how this can result in early unnecessary deaths in our populations. And with us to talk about that is David Radley. So what is the connection in your findings in this Commonwealth Fund report between the lack of access to health care and early unnecessary deaths?
Well, we find that in general, that states where access is worse, they tend to have higher rates of premature death, so death before age 75 from various causes. Texas is a little unique in that sense, though. Texas is the second youngest state in the country. In Texas, even though the access metrics don't look particularly strong, a lot of the outcome measures are pretty middle of the pack. So, in terms, pretty close to the national average, I mean. So I don't know how strong of a correlation that is in Texas, but in general, we know that there's a strong correlation between access to care and health outcomes.
Let's go to a caller, Henrietta. Henrietta, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Disparity is the correct word to say, because many times they have Medicare and Medicaid and don't get the right treatment. And what diabetes does is affects the kidneys, and is one of the, like, the creatinine level is very high. Right away, they want to put them in what I call dialysis farms. And we have a lot of dialysis farms, and many times they don't have to be on dialysis. And I'm telling you this because of a personal problem with my two sons. They tried to do that, but they were not very successful because they were smart enough to tell them the kidneys can heal themselves too. But like I told the doctor, this is not a horse race. It's a burro race, because the burros work hard, and they're slow, but they're slowly healing themselves.
All right, Henrietta, thank you for the call. So diabetes, it's a chronic disease that we have here in the San Antonio and across South Texas. So how does delaying care mean that manageable conditions like diabetes and hypertension can likely become medical emergencies?
I mean, it's a great question. I mean, when we don't treat chronic illness, I mean, that it becomes acute illness. With diabetes in particular, if we don't treat the diabetes, you can end up, in a situation where you may face, problems with your eyes, you may face, problems with your feet, and in the most severe cases, even have to get a foot or a leg amputated. Those are the most horrible outcomes that we try to avoid. And the best way to do that is by having a primary care doc or in the case of diabetes, a specialist who treats diabetes, keeping that disease managed, keeping the blood sugars under control, and staying out of the hospital as best as we can. Obviously, if you need to have your leg amputated, the hospital is the place to do it, but we want to treat the disease before it gets to that point.
So in your report, Texas is ranked 45th for health system performance for the Hispanic population. What does that mean? So given the fact that Hispanic population is a large part of the state's population, over half, you have to recognize that that means it's an indictment for Texas.
Well, what the ranking of 45th means is that compared to other states, the Hispanic population in Texas is really not being served particularly well by the healthcare system in the state. When we look at why that might be, it really comes down to some of these metrics of healthcare access that we've already discussed. I mentioned earlier that Texas has the highest uninsured rate in the country. Nationally, about a quarter of Hispanic people lack health insurance, but in Texas, that's 34%. So more than a third. That's a huge jump. Again, nationally, uninsured kids, about 10% of kids are uninsured nationally, but in Texas, 20% of Hispanic kids are uninsured. So these are kids under age 18. You know, they only have access because of their parents' ability to sort of, you know, provide for them. And one in five, you know, Hispanic children in Texas lacks health insurance.
So I keep bringing this up about the lack of funding for public health in the state of Texas compared to other states. Texas is ranked 45th in the nation for funding of public health. How does that impact? So if we don't have a lot of health insurance, it's highest in the country for lack for no health insurance, and underfunding public health simultaneously, isn't that a 1-2 punch that really hurts the most vulnerable populations?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the way that that shows up, it could show up in less regulation or less ability to observe environmental factors that can impact different populations. We know that environmental factors have a disproportionate impact on low-income populations, and so, you know, when we think about the role of public health, and whether it's environment, whether it's the role of vaccination and that kind of preventive of healthcare, it's so critical, and it's most critical for low-income populations who aren't necessarily being cared for particularly well by the healthcare delivery system.
So how could reductions or tighter eligibility rules for Medicaid and SNAP affect health outcomes, especially for people who don't have health insurance and even for people who have health insurance?
Right. Well, so, I mean, health insurance really comes down, is really the foundation of a high-performing health system. I mean, we know that Texas has, you know, world-renowned hospitals, Houston Methodist, Baylor Scott and White. You know, these are hospitals with fantastic reputations for providing high quality care, but it doesn't matter if you can't get in the door. And so we need to have, you know, health insurance really is the foundation. You know, Texas isn't an expansion state. We've talked about that. But it's also, you know, a relatively low income state. I mean, under 30% of the people in Texas live under the 200% of the poverty level. That's higher than in other states. If Texas were to expand its Medicaid program, I understand that politically that may not be on the table, but that would, you know, provide health insurance for many low-income people in the state, and it really would, you know, help those individuals identify disease earlier, treat and manage chronic disease if those chronic diseases are present, and ultimately it would keep those sick individuals from using the most expensive healthcare resources in emergency rooms and in uncompensated hospitalizations.
Does your report look at the differences between people who live in rural areas and people who live in urban areas?
This one doesn't, but we're working on one that's going to do exactly that.
And why do you think that's a significant thing to look at?
I mean, it's so critical because even though the urban areas are the population centers, we still know that in any given state, very large portions of the state, geographically anyway, people still live there and they need to be able to access care. The problems in rural parts of the states are compounded because there are fewer healthcare providers in rural parts of the state. It might take longer to access emergency services. You've probably heard people talk about these things called healthcare deserts. That's when there's really not a healthcare provider or a particular type of provider that people who live in rural parts of states have access to. And so a lot of the problems are just compounded in rural parts of the states, you know, just because of those access barriers.
It does seem like there is a general lack of awareness in the population that this is happening, that this is the reality. People don't realize that they are dealing with these really difficult winds against them in order to access healthcare. I mean, they relive it every day. They see their families living it every day. They just think it's part of life. I mean, should that also be part of the effort to let people know that this doesn't have to happen, that this was a policy decision, and you deserve better.
Look, failed systems fail everybody. And there's a lot of parts of the U.S. healthcare system that I think has failed in different ways. It's true in Texas, it's true in other states as well. And I absolutely think that people, well, it would be great if people sort of had a really clear view into, you know, what's going on in the healthcare system. The healthcare system is really complicated. It's really opaque. When you go to the doctor, you're not thinking about, you know, what's the price or you're not thinking about sort of the larger system. You're thinking about, you know, getting your ailment treated. You know, if you have an injury, you need to get that, you know, treated. If you have a chronic disease, you need to manage that over time. And you know, when people are in front of their doctor or they're in the emergency room, they're not thinking about the larger system. They're thinking about what needs to happen, you know, to keep my loved one safe, to keep my loved one healthy. And those are the most important things. So yeah, sure. I think it would be great if people understood the healthcare system. And I think that the healthcare system has responsibility to make it easier for patients.
What state does it best? What's number one in your Commonwealth fund?
When we look at these kinds of things, it sort of depends on the measures. But Massachusetts tends to do pretty well in these kinds of reports. Minnesota does as well. In the case of Massachusetts, they've dedicated, you know, a huge amount of time and energy and thinking and policymaking around making sure that healthcare that's provided in the state is high quality, that people have access to it, and that cost growth is happening at a sustainable pace. And so, you know, there's probably some policy lessons that can be learned from Massachusetts, that don't have to be partisan, by the way. You know, even though I know that this a lot of these issues tend to sort of
but
fall
but these
way.
Are blue state policies. I mean, this is that's the way it is. Blue state policies provide better care.
Every state would like to save on healthcare spending. I don't think that has to be Republican or Democrat. One thing that Massachusetts has done, yeah, sure, it's a blue state. But one thing that they've done is they've taken a very targeted approach at healthcare spending growth. That's something that I think every policymakers in every state should be interested in.
Well, what's the number one takeaway you want people to get from this report from the Commonwealth Fund?
Yeah, I think that the number one takeaway is that when we look across states and we see that some states have much wider disparities and other states have much narrower disparities, that's proof that, you know, with policy action, targeted action, policymakers can make a difference.
Do you think investing in public health actually saves the state in the long run?
Absolutely. And it's going to come down to this thing that we spoke about. I mean, we share the costs,
But even for the state, what the state has to pay for, in subsidizing hospitals or whatever they do, they're trying to keep things going. I mean, loss of economic productivity. It does seem like, when you shortchange public health, you're really costing society quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. Sure.
All right. David Radley, he is the senior scientist at the Commonwealth Fund Tracking Health System Performance Initiative and the director of data and analytics at the Center for Evidence-Based Policy at Oregon Health and Science University. Thank you so much, David. Thank you for coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.